right, good to see everybody this morning. We had a missionary journey. Me and Fred over here went to North Carolina to see Marvin Johnson. Marvin is the blind man who came to visit with us. And we said if any man, if he can come that far to visit with us, we'll go visit with him. He's on the way home. He has cancer and it's terminal, and he's just waiting to hear a call from the Lord. And you couldn't see a happier man. It was quite amazing, wasn't it, Fred? Just to sit and just be with him. He'll hear this CD. And Marvin, we're still praying for you, and you beat us home. Yada, da, 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 da. And what a wonderful man to be in his presence. If you brought a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 2. We'll finish up the message from last week. Won't be about an hour. And we just thank you. We just have such good folks. You know, if we could get everybody here who comes to this service at one time, we couldn't fill them in this. We'd have to put the doors up over here, and it would fill that big room up back there. We have, how many main tags are gone out now, Mike?
I don't know.
Anybody else know? It's over 1,000. And these people claim membership here. See, we don't have any members. We have tag wearers. You come in, you're a tag wearer, you're ours. We know that. So we have people all over, and we get messages back from the good the CDs are doing. And you heard Brenda, what she said. I mean, my goodness, that ought to, we can sing Go Home back to that. That's just wonderful. So we'll pray, and then we'll finish this story. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you. The name of Christ Jesus, and thank you that this season of the year especially we take time to honor you in every way that we can. We pray that we touch somebody with the float, at the crosses that went out, and the CDs that go out, and the radio messages that go out, and the prisoners behind prison walls, as someone's touched as we preach the word of God here. We thank you for the privilege and honor you have given us to do that. And as always, please remove me from this place that you be heard, that if I say anything that should be forgotten, please make it be. All that should be remembered, please have it be, that above all you be glorified, and the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Chapter 2, Book of Matthew. We started last week and told about the birth of Jesus, and we talked about Mary and Joseph and what they had gone through, and this one is about when the wise men come. This is the unexpected things of Christmas. You know, Christmas started out unexpected, didn't it? We had an unexpected pregnancy, an unexpected baby born. We have here we're going to have some unexpected things happen, and it's amazing how many unexpected things will happen in these 11 or 12 verses of Scripture. So now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he this born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you've found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, this is the story, of course, of the wise men of the Christmas card industry and the artists who make their living depicting these scenes. Do a fine job. I have the wise men on one side of my door, coming over to Bethlehem, coming over to the manger on the other side of the door, which never happened. This the Christmas card industry distorts the story. And we'll get it straight for you this morning. Takes nothing away from the story. As a matter of fact, it increases it. But please understand, the Magi who came, these were the people who studied the stars. They studied astrology. They were the wise men. They were the higher ups. And they came from Persia, which is Babylon today. And it is amazing how all this started in Babylon and turns around and we're back there today. Does that tell you anything? The circle is about complete and it's about over if you not listen carefully. God has taken the whole thing and wound it back around, and he's going to end it where he started it. Isn't that amazing? Now, when these people decided to come, it's an unexpected sign they saw. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, this was an unexpected journey. They were looking at the stars. These people studied the stars, and they got information from them. But please understand, why did they come when they saw this star? What in the world would prompt them to make a journey just because they saw a light in the sky? Well, we know that Daniel was taken to Babylon 570 years before then. And Daniel, in the midst of everything there, said no, he was going to serve his God, whether they liked it or not. And they didn't like it very much. You remember what they did to him, put him in the fiery furnace and did all the things they did to him. But he stood firm for God, and he took the law, the books, the Torah with him, and he had told these people and taught these people the Jewish books. And these are no doubt the descendants from the people that Daniel had taught. How else would they know the story? How else would they know to go? Why would they want to go? If they hadn't heard and remembered and went back and looked at the scrolls and found out what would happen. Now, they knew this from their studies, and they came seeking Jesus. You see the little Sunbeam bread ad every year? I love to see it on the billboards. The little blue background and a bright star and that beautiful little Sunbeam girl. A little girl that represents them. And it just says, wise men still seek him. And this is what these people were doing. They were seeking the Messiah that they had read about. Strangely enough, it wasn't their Messiah. It was a Jewish Messiah that was coming. But these men read the Jewish law, understood it plain as day that the king was coming. That an unexpected king was coming. They didn't know where he was coming from. He just appeared. But he came, we know, from outer space. You never thought about Jesus being alien, did you? Came out of space. And arrived on the scene, and they knew where he was coming, and the Jews didn't. For when they got there, they asked an unexpected question. They didn't go to the manger as the Christmas cards would lead you to believe. They, like any wise men would do, said, well, if a king is coming, then we need to go to the king's place of business and inquire about this, because surely he'll know. Little did they know, they were going to visit Herod's place. And so they came and began to ask questions. Where is he, this born king of the Jews? And the Jews, who were supposed to be looking for that king, are saying, huh? They said, where is your king? Well, Herod, we ain't talking about Herod. We're talking about your Messiah. We're talking about the King who is to come that we have read about, that the prophets of old have told about. And we are here. We aren't Jews, but we want to see this. We want to be in on this. We want to be part of this. Now, where is your King? Where is he? He's been born. We know that because we've seen his star. When we were in the east, we saw it, and we've come to worship him. Now, isn't it strange that some Babylonians would come to worship a Jewish Messiah? What had happened to these men between the time they read of this and saw this miraculous star appear? Why would they want to come and worship him? Somebody got converted, didn't they? Somebody believed the King was coming. Somebody believed the Messiah was here. Somebody believed the Old Testament prophets, but they had looked for him to come, and while their own people didn't believe it anymore, and only a handful were looking for him, here these Babylonians came not just to see the spectacle, they came to worship him, the Bible says. And worship is only given to God. These men are convinced that this King is God. They've come and they've brought presents, as we see in the end, worthy of a king. Now, that was an unexpected journey they took. They asked unexpected questions of the Jews. They didn't want to be questioned on that. They were holding the ritualistic services. The priests wanted to keep their jobs. So let's don't shake the boat. Let's just go along with things that they are. Let's don't worry about things and get excited about this king coming that we've been looking for decades, because that will upset the apple cart. We'll have nothing to eat. We won't be prestigious anymore. We won't have a job. Yada, yada, yada. Sounds like America to me. Let's don't get excited about Christmas. Let's hold a parade and not have Christ in it. In fact, let's have several and not have Christ in it. As a matter of fact, let's change it to Happy Holiday and get Christ out of it. Sounds like America to me. And yet a handful has come and say, wait a minute, this is Christmas time. The Jews wanted to come to the first Christmas. It hadn't even been advertised yet. There were no ads about the sales and all. They came because they saw the star. It was a miracle. I read every year they trot out these people with the stargazers, I call them. And a few years back, they had two stars they thought came in combination to form this star, an unusual event, and that these people thought they had seen a miracle because it was double the brightness of a regular star, and yada, yada, yada. No, it was a miraculous light sent by God to direct these people to where the King was coming. It did not hang over the manger like it is at your house. It hung over City Hall in Jerusalem. He said, go down there and ask them about me. They think they know me. They're not even looking for me. If you don't believe it, go down there and ask the people in charge and see if they're even looking for me. Sounds like America to me. Oh, I've heard you preachers talk about Jesus coming all my life. And how old are you, sir? 53. All your life. We've been talking about it for thousands of years. It's all over the Old Testament and the New. But it's become so commonplace that nobody pays any attention anymore. Yeah, yeah, Jesus is coming. Yeah, we've heard that. Yeah, well, things have gone always like they have been. What do you do, live in a cave? What do you mean things have always been like they are? Things have changed somewhat. I laughed. I opened a present early this year. Somebody spent $200 and gave me a GPS thing. Global positioning. Don't correct me, son. Thank you. Global positioning. It's not the mind, it's the teeth. Okay. It's a global positioning satellite. Now, I know they cost $200. So I was glad to get that thing. Got it out, read the directions, said this is all right. Punched the buttons, and it told me I was here. I'm going to give it to somebody else. I know I'm here. I've been here. I did appreciate that. Did you see the guy on TV? He's naked with a spear and a GPS in his hand. Have you seen that? I said, this dude skipped everything in between. He went from outhouse to outer space, man. These three wise men were the first one to have a GPS, right? They had a GPS, came out of space, and sat there and told them where to go, and they followed it. How easy can it be? Nothing new under the sun. Solomon's right. And so they came to Jerusalem. Now, they caused an unexpected disturbance. Have you noticed that when Jesus came, he started out causing trouble? It caused trouble everywhere he went. And still causing trouble. He's been gone 2,000 years. And he's coming back and going to cause more trouble than that. Now, he is the Prince of Peace, but don't fall for that story of the long hair just getting back from the beauty shop. Jesus, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's for everybody that believes on him. For the others, he's coming in judgment. Please understand that. He came as a lamb the first time. He's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And there's a big difference between a lion and a lamb. I love the humor of the Bible. In Revelation, it says, and they're going to face the wrath of the lamb. I said, surely a little baby doesn't have a whole lot of wrath, does he? Who's scared of that? And a little lamb, he's not poisonous. He can't bite you. He has no big old teeth. He just nubs a little grass there now and then. He can't kick you. He's weak. He can't defend himself. He's almost blind. They get 20 yards from the flock. They're lost. And I'm supposed to be afraid of the wrath of the lamb? Get real. The world says they don't know who the lamb grew up to be. Yet when he comes back, I saw a bumper sticker in the 60s. Some guy thought he was being smart. He didn't know what a theologian he was. It said Jesus is coming and boy is he mad. And he thought that was funny. He'll find out there won't be much humor at the judgment. So the unexpected disturbance caused by all these three people, and by the way, it wasn't three. The only thing that song gets right is they're from the Orient. Okay, they aren't kings, and there's not just three. Had three of them traveled with a load of gold and frankincense and myrrh, they'd have been in it hitting the head over the first sand dune, and the robbers would have had that. They were looking for people that dumb. Three people. Wise men aren't stupid enough to take a trip by three of them. So here they are, and they're there, but Herod, the king, had heard these things. He was troubled. Well, of course he was. And all Jerusalem with him. Now, why is this man troubled? Because some people show up in a caravan and ask a few questions. Because they had the whole city in uproar. That's why. Caravan comes to town and they load it down and they're looking for the newborn king. They want to honor him. They want to worship him. They want to get next to him. They want to find out about this, only to find out nobody in town knows anything about it. But Herod was the king, and Herod was a bad dude, as we say. Herod was a killer. We're fighting Herod's offspring today, by the way. The Bible calls those people a wild ass of a man. That's what it labels them. Their end will come on the hills of Jerusalem by the hand of the Lamb. It's already written. You don't have to read the newspaper when it happens. Herod had killed his favorite wife. He had 10. She was his favorite. I laugh when I read things like that, saying, well, if he killed her, what did he do to those he didn't like? I mean, this is bad dude, right? He killed her grandfather. He said something didn't like. He killed a couple of his own children. This is a bad man. And people were scared of him. And he, being the king, said, no other king is going to invade my territory and overthrow my authority and my kingship. We better find out, is there a revolution taking place? Is there an uprising among the people? Herod wasn't a very good Bible student. He didn't know the real king was coming. So whoever it was and wherever it was, he wanted to find out about this and wanted to put this down. And all Jerusalem was troubled with him, the scriptures say. Why? When the king's uneasy, everybody's uneasy. Because he's coming looking, and if you don't have any answers, they'd just soon kill you as not for not knowing the answer. It was a rough way to live. But the king then was the king, and he could take anybody's life at any time for any reason, and nobody cared. So the whole area was troubled and uproar. This group of men who had come had caused a very unexpected disturbance. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, now here comes the religious group. He caused trouble with the religious group when he came. And they were saying, wait a minute, what do you mean the king's coming? And what do you mean our scriptures say? Gee, we better get back and start reading scriptures. We're going through the rituals, but you know, we hadn't really looked into this thing. And he says he's going to be prophet, priest, and king. And that's in our scrolls? Yes, yes it is. In fact, where did he come from? Well, your prophet Micah in Micah 5:2 says he came from out of space, whose goings forth have been from old, from of old, from everlasting. Say what? That's where that saying came about. Say what? Said he's coming from outer space, he has lived forever, and he's going to be king. And another one of the prophets has said, the government shall be put on his shoulders, and he shall rule forever. And they backing up saying, whoa, dude, let's talk this over. A new king's coming that has lived forever, and is going to be king here and sit on the throne of David, and he is going to rule the government with a rod of iron. That's the story. And they're saying, we need to know more about this. Bob, did you read any of this? No. Hark, Harold, that's where that song came from. Did you read any? He said, no, I didn't read any. Well, has anybody read our own book? Good question to ask the religionists of today, isn't it? I've heard you preach. I hear what you say. Have you bothered to read the book? Jesus is coming soon. You see, this is going to be repeated in like fashion. They're talking about here something that's going to happen in the future again. Is he not going to come? Are the kings not going to be wore out by his coming? Are they not going to get together and say, who is this who's coming back again? Who is this who summons all the nations to the hills of Armageddon? Who is this? We best get over here and stop this. Revelation will finish the story for you. All nations will come against him. And he's going to come again just like he did from outer space. And those of us who know him will be with him unless he comes soon, and we would still be with him. We don't have to fight this battle, though. They can get their war armaments together. We don't care what they have, because we're going to face them unarmed. What? Unarmed. said, we'll follow on horses in white sheets. That means we are pure. That the judgment up there has been held, the beam of judgment. We've been counted judge. White's always a sign of righteousness. But it doesn't say we're given any weapons. It says we follow behind him. And this army that comes looking for him will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. That's too far ahead for me. Just the brightness of his presence will destroy that 200 million man army, plus the armies of the world that gather with them. What a God. So here we find that this news is going to disturb people even later. They're going to do the same, not only at the second coming, they're going to do the same at the rapture of the church. When the Lord Jesus calls us out of here, and we're gone to meet him in the air, and the dead in Christ arise, and we're gone. And all the little children are gone. Those who are covered by the grace of God are gone. Do you think there just maybe a few will say, what happened? Well, call Ted Koppel. Ask Mr. Koppel, what happened? I don't know why they haven't given me the evening news. I have no idea what's taking. I'll read it later. They don't know either. So they'll go to the religionist because there'll be a lot of them left. Someone said when the Lord Jesus calls the church home, there'll be a lot of full churches the next Sunday and a lot of empty prisons. I believe that. And they'll be asking their preacher, priest, or whoever they got, what happened? So-and-so is not here. Mother Johnson's gone. The baby is in the back. They're all gone. There are no babies. What's going on, preacher? You're supposed to help us. Aren't you in contact with God? Can't you tell us what's going on? Have you no word from the scriptures on this? And the liars will keep on lying, saying, we don't know, we don't have any idea, we'll have to wait and see, let's just pray. Why? You ain't got anybody to pray to. And the honest ones will stand at the pulpit that morning and say, my friends and fellow church members, I have lied to you. Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant. And the rapture of the church has taken place. And those who knew him are gone. And this will cost you and I our lives, because the government that takes over will be headed by the Antichrist, and we'll soon be hunted down. But this morning, could I not give a real invitation? Not would you like to be a church member and be comfortable, and would you like to sing with us and have a happy face, but would you like to repent of your sins and meet the Savior and live with him forever? I've lied to you for years, but this morning I'm going to get it right myself, and I hope some of you will too, and many will. And tapes have been left, and radio programs have been left, and CDs have been left, and moving pictures have been left by people of the faith, and we've put them in time capsules, and we're trying to leave things behind so those people in the tribulation time can once again hear the gospel in this time, accept it. But do you know what the Bible says is going to happen? That their hearts will be hardened. Isn't that sad? Wouldn't you think, if all things would get a man to come to Christ, it would be that. But they'll shake their fist in his face, as Joseph Stalin did when he died. The unexpected disturbance came to the government, it came to the people, it came to the religionists. And Herod saw this happening, and he said, look, get the scribes together, get the priests down here. And demand of them, demanding, where is this Christ to be born? You're supposed to know. You're the religionist. Get out your book. Get out your scroll. If this big event is to take place, surely you know, and I may have you killed if you don't know. I can hear him now, can't you? And they said unto him, boy, they got to be a quick study, didn't they? They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Well, why didn't you read it when the prophet wrote it? Why don't you understand it? Why is it at this late date you're saying unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given? And the government shall be upon his shoulders and they'll call him Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Why didn't you read this earlier, priest? Oh, well, I just didn't get around to it. You weak hireling. You knew it was there. You were scared of Herod. That was your problem. You were scared of the government. And thou, Bethlehem, the prophet said, in the land of Judah, you're not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Priest, has he come? No, well, not that I know of. Have you seen him rule here? No. Then this must be a future event. Huh? Must be. Perhaps it was under this star. What do you think? Boy, they ask hard questions, don't they? Yes, him. And we read it again this morning that out of thee shall come a governor, and he did, and that shall rule my people Israel, and he didn't. So we continue to read the book and find out he's coming again. And then he'll sit on the throne of David. And then he shall rule his people Israel. What a future we have to look forward to. They got an unexpected commission, these guys did. Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. You see, Herod was a pretty wise dude himself. He said, okay, if there's a king coming, and the prophets have said he was, I'm not much of a religious man, but I know everything the prophets have said has come true when the time came around, and I can't afford to take a chance. If that king is here, I want to know who he is, I want to know where he is, and I want to know when he came. So they found out, and he sent them to Bethlehem. Now the wise men go to Bethlehem. And said, go and search diligently. In Herod's language, that means you better find them, or you're a dead man. For the young child, search diligently for him. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. I don't think so. But isn't this funny that Herod is giving these men instructions that the Bible gives to you and I and to every man living later who are searching for God? Almost same words. The Bible says you will find him when you search for me with all your heart. You say, well, I can't find God. Where have you looked? Some of you ladies, and I just love ladies. Y'all are just wonderful. But you think different than us. And I had a friend. He said, he's getting a divorce. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, my wife said that she wanted to find herself. And I said, okay. Where'd you see her last? Go tell her that. Last time I saw you was in the kitchen. Why don't you go look? If you're in there, let's forget this foolishness and go back to being married and treat each other like we should, and we won't need a lawyer. That's all you got to do. And God said to us, you'll find me when you search me with me with all your heart. And I see a lot of Herods today who want to know a little religion. And every now and then, Christmas and Easter, they'll attend some church. But they really don't want to get too religious. I mean, what will my friends say? And then trouble comes upon their life like it does upon every life, and they have nowhere to turn. Nowhere to turn. Had they spent some time searching for God diligently, that means get in church, get you a Bible, take notes when the preacher preaches, get a CD and listen to the messages again, tune in to the good ones on TV and your radio, and try to find God and what He would have you to do with your life, do it diligently. Have you known people that didn't have a job that said, I got to look for a job Monday, and they got up early at 8 o'clock and got dressed, went out at 9, and were back at 10? You said, you find a job? I just couldn't find one. Well, no wonder they all weren't even open yet. Got to want the job. Read a story, used to use it in sales motivation. They were advertising for a little office boy, a little runner, you know, to go to get the coffee and go to get the stuff and take the mail and all. They used to hire a kid, the businesses did, to do that. And they ran an ad in the paper that they needed somebody 12 years, you know, 12 to 13 years old to do this. And 200 kids showed up for the job. And this little kid named Johnny was in line, and he wanted a job. And he said, may I borrow a paper and a piece of pencil? And they said, yes. And he wrote a note and gave it to the secretary and said, ma'am, would you be kind enough to take that to the man who's hiring the little boy? And she said, I sure will. And she took it in and gave it to him. And the man came out in a minute and said, which one's Johnny? The little boy raised his hand. He said, did you write this note yourself? He said, yes, I did. And he said, all right, everybody else can go home. The job's taken. He gave it to Johnny. The note had said, there are 200 kids out here. Do not make a move till you see me. Boy, Johnny came to get the job. 199 came to inquire about it. Difference, isn't it? And when you get ready to diligently search for God, He'll show up. People will ask the question, and a valid question. It's a very difficult theological question to answer. And the ones who ask it, generally those who don't know much theology, and they'll say, what happens to those people who never heard of Jesus? And what they're saying, boy, it's not fair to put that man in hell because he never heard of Jesus, is he? And this is the answer. Herod had the answer. If you will diligently search for him, he'll show up. The book of Romans says that when they saw creation, they didn't honor him. It says man is without excuse just by seeing creation. You see, God knew that this evolution thing was coming. And he knew the scientists would search diligently to try to make it true and him write me a liar. And he knew they would finally get down to the point of intelligent design and would run out of answers. Because the deeper they look, the more they're convinced this didn't happen by itself. Those of you who have scientific minds, of which I am not, understand that DNA and RNA both have to be there at the same time for there to be a human being. The only way they can be there at the same time is to have been created at the same instant. Your blood, when you cut yourself, if you aren't a hemophiliac, that's a free bleeder. Somebody who gets cut, maybe you've known someone like that, had to be extra careful in school, couldn't play sports and stuff, because if they got cut, they could bleed death. Your blood to form a blood clot, which the Lord has put in your system, so when you cut yourself, all your blood won't spill out, has 12 different steps to go through. 12 different steps. And all of those steps have to be there at the same time. They can't develop. and had the evolution story been anywhere near true. The first with blood would have been dead with the first accident, and it would have been over. Aren't you glad God uses the simple to confuse the wise? And I'm so glad I'm among the simple. So search diligently, he said, and bring him to me. I want to worship him also. No, you don't. When they heard the king, they departed. And listen to this now. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east, when they were in the east, went before them. The star showed up again. I've never heard anybody talk about the star showing up again, have you? I never saw a Christmas card with both stars on it. And here, that same star, you folks who study that thing, NASA and all, you made a mistake. It wasn't those two stars crossing, and it wasn't like the astrologists today tell us when it's, the second Mars bar and the third bicuspid of the second moon going into Venus's. I don't know. You know, it's too complicated. It wasn't that. It was a miracle of God who sent the star again. And it went before them, and it stood over where the young child was. That's where the Christmas card people think the star stood over the manger. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That's what you and I are going to do when we see the great light, aren't we? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Won't it be good to see the light? Won't it be good to live in the light, in the presence of the light? God came close to Moses on the mountain. He stayed in the cloud. Nobody seen God in his fullness. But what little part of the glory of God Moses saw when he came down, his face shined like a spotlight for 2 weeks. He had to wear a veil over his face to keep from blinding people. People say, well, that's just a myth. You'll never know because you ain't going. And when they were come into the house, not the stable, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, not the baby, 2 years old now. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Now, when you come into a house then, you see the child, you mentioned the father first. Joseph was gone somewhere. But here it says the young child was there with his mother. And what did they do? They fell down and worshiped him. This is the first worship service honoring Jesus Christ. The church isn't to come along till Pentecost. But this is three non-Jews, and whoever was with them, hold the first worship service to Jesus. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now I have the three wise men supposedly on a little table, Ann and I do, and they're headed for Jerusalem across the doorway there, and we got the whole thing going on, and they always have, you know, one of them's got a little basket of gold, and one of them's got a jar of frankincense, and one's got a little jar of myrrh. No! The camels are loaded down. It was a caravan. And they brought gold. They brought gold. They brought frankincense. They brought frankincense enough to honor a king. When they brought myrrh, it was plenteous. It was enough to honor the newborn king. You don't show up with a gift for the king in your little hanging. You bring something worthy. Something worthy of giving to a king. Except me and you. And all we brought was trash. All we brought was us as a gift of the king. And God sent Jesus as a gift to us. not much of exchange of presents there, is it? Not much going on there. And so they brought gold. Gold bespoke of his deity, that he would be King of Kings. Gold is the color of the king, is it not? He carries a gold staff and wears a gold crown and wears robes trimmed in gold, and that bespeaks the King of Kings, his deity. They brought frankincense. Frankincense was a perfume that bespoke of the fragrance of his life that he would live. And they brought myrrh. And myrrh was a fragrance, but it was sticky, and it was like glue. And they used it when they buried someone to hold the bandages in place till it hardened. So they spoke of his everlasting kingdom, the fragrance of his life, but made sure that you knew the baby had come to die for you and for me. And that's why our float was so good, and Billy, y'all did such a good job. And what a thing to have, a picture of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For that's what the whole book's about. And I was told by those who gave out the crosses that many people last night, they'd hear them say, well, there's the whole story. That's the whole thing. That's the big three. And if you don't know about those three, it's not much use for you to celebrate what they call these three. Because if you just know about the three wise men, you aren't one. Well, the sunbeam girl is right. Wise men still seek him. If you know him not as Savior today, why don't you make this the best Christmas you could possibly have? Why don't you undo the swaddling clothes and look at the gift of Jesus that came for you? And quietly look at him and say, but he came for everybody. Yes, he did. But did you know he loved you so much? Had you been the only one lost out of all of humanity, he'd have still come. He'd have still died. And he would have still arisen just for you. And if any of you other religions out there have got a God that can even get close to that, send me a note. But if you haven't, maybe you'd consider that he came for you too. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you as we enter the celebration of the time when you chose to come from heaven to earth, to leave the halls of glory and the attendance of angels to come down in a smelly barn, just with your mother and your adopted dad. Ignored by the crowds and not even expected to show up, a king was born. Thank you for your word that relates this story to us. And one day you will show us film at 11, I'm sure. And we'll get to see a reenactment of that thing. How glorious that will be. But thank you that you came for us. Ask nothing of us but to follow you. Ask nothing of us but to repent and to trust in you. And you would take care of us forever. And I believe that with all my heart. There be one here who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior and doesn't know you came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed your blood on an old rugged cross, was buried, bodily arose the third day and is promised to come again. And let us who believe in him live forever. May today they make that decision, whether they be here or listening by means of CD or the radio or the web. or a CD passed to them by a stranger listening on the radio, know that this Christmas is your Christmas. Accept your gift. It's free. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.